always thankful for his thoughts towards you today. Amen. He says, I know the thoughts I have for you, thoughts of peace, for an expected end, not thoughts of evil. How many is thankful for that today? Amen. You know, he could have had all kinds of thoughts about you that weren't so pleasant, but I'm thankful that he chose to think the best of us, even when we don't always choose to think the best of us. Amen. Praise the Lord for that today. We're just happy to be with you. Am I sound on all right? Okay, praise the Lord. We're just so happy to be here with you today. Kind of a privilege, amen. I don't have a Christmas sermon today because I found out that evangelists get in trouble when they preach about Christmas. No, I mean, I don't care either way, but just, you know, some people, they get in trouble. So, but I'd like to take a thought this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to look into 2 Timothy chapter 3 this morning. I hope that's all right. I believe Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're just so thankful to be here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to read verses 14 to 17, a familiar portion of Scripture this morning for you, hopefully. It says, but continue thou, of course, Paul is writing this to Timothy. He says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Amen. For doctrine, some people stop there. It says also for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And why? What is the purpose? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, you're thoroughly furnished unto all good works today. Amen. You see a need, you see a situation in your life, say, well, I wish God would help me with that. You've been thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You lack nothing this morning by this word of God, if you believe it today. Do you believe that? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I'd like to speak this morning on the thought, the inspiration of God. Before we do that, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. I think it's appropriate this morning, Heavenly Father, as we pray, Lord, knowing that the word is given by inspiration, that it would only be appropriate that we would come before you, the author of this word, for no doubt millions, Lord. Many men and women have read this Bible, which is inspired, but failing to receive the same inspiration into their own lives and their own hearts. Their minds are blinded by the God of this world, the principle, the power of the air. Their minds, they've been blinded to the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. But Father, we're so thankful this morning for eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to receive on the good ground of our heart the word of God, that you might bring forth 30, 60, even 100-fold, that we might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We just pray now, Lord God, you would come into the service and take these mortal lips of clay, I pray, and speak through them to the needs and the hearts of your people. For this is a people that has been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Such a great price was paid for these people. May we not be so careless this morning now as to try to put our own hand to the work of God in their life, but may you come and bless each one by your wisdom and your grace and your power. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory for what you do. And we thank you and we invite you now. We welcome you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you as you're seated this morning. Brother, can one of the brothers give me just a little bit of volume this morning? My voice is just a little, it's not coming through real well here. Before I get into my thought this morning, I just thought I'd take a moment, and I feel inspired to say this. By the way, I'm preaching this morning on the inspiration of God, so we should follow inspiration, of course. And I didn't know even Brother James was going to say this, but I'm so thankful to be in a church this morning where people come and pray before the service starts. Amen. You say, what's this got to do with anything? Well, I believe it has a lot to do with a lot of things. Amen. Thank you so much. Let me say this. It makes a difference. Amen. I'm a traveling minister, as you know, and I've been places where the people, they're good people, real godly people, but their church is in a, what you would call an autumn or a winter. And what I mean by that is it was a church that was once on the rise, and it was powerful, and God moved there, and God still speaks there, and they're still blessed, but they're on a decline. They're trying to hold on to what they have. Amen. They're not growing in strength. And so I say this, I've noticed, especially lately as I travel and stuff, the most powerful services and the places where the Holy Ghost moves, where a church is in its spring and its summer, it's having revival, it's having a harvest. It's a church where the people gather and they pray. They have prayer meetings. They come before church and they pray a half hour, maybe even earlier. Amen. I go to a church. I have a home church where the musicians, before they even begin to play music, they meet and they pray. My pastor, he comes, and the ministers and even the deacons in time, they'll come, and the song leader, we come in the office and we pray. Amen. And the people show up a half hour early before church and they pray. Amen. Just like Brother James was talking about. Amen. You see so many people, they like him, they show up to church early, they pray. Usually Brother Andrew, when he's here, he comes back with me and he prays. And I'm saying all this for a reason. Amen. You go to church like that and you come into that, and it makes a difference. It really does. You might not think it, amen, because you're here. But when you go and you see the difference like I do, amen, there's a real difference, amen. I've been to churches where everybody shows up right when church starts. If church starts at, let's say it starts at 10, 11 o'clock, they show right then. The song leader shows up right then. The musicians, they show up right as the doors are opening, amen. And let me say this, amen, and I'm not talking about these people like they're not saved or anything, but it makes a difference in the service, amen, when you come and you consecrate yourself and you watch, and their churches are in that condition. They're not gathering strength. They're just trying to maintain it. Amen. I had a brother come to me one time. He said, well, you know, Brother Branham, he usually showed up to the Branham Tabernacle sometimes right when church would start, or even he'd show up late. I said, yeah, that's because he was praying for a sick person or visiting them in the hospital, not because he was hitting the snooze button 3 and 4 times. Amen. There's a difference there. Amen. So I say this, amen, because people make excuses. Amen. It's the winter now, and this is a bit of an exhortation just to you this morning. Of course, it's the winter now, and you know, it gets colder, and sometimes you got to leave a few minutes early. You get to church a couple minutes late, maybe 5-10 minutes late, and if you're not careful, it becomes a practice that even when the weather's good, it gets that way. And people, they begin to cool off and they get into a rut, amen, where you let prayer and consecration slip. And so I want to thank you this morning as people that come and pray, amen, because that makes a difference. Whether you realize or not, that's what makes the service. Because you've asked God to come, and you've given him the thing that is the hardest thing to give, your time. Amen. That we ain't got time for nothing nowadays. A lot of people even got time for church most of the time. But when you've got our time in prayer, we ask him to come, I believe it makes a difference. Do you believe that this morning? Well, praise the Lord. I thank God for praying people this morning. You make my job a lot easier to say it that way. Praise the Lord. We're talking about the inspiration of God this morning. Is that right? I believe that's where we get inspiration. We got to find ourselves in a prayer closet sometime. Is that right? Look, if we just pray before men, we've got our reward, the Bible says. But if we go to that secret place, amen, if we go to that little room somewhere, that prayer closet, God will reward you. Is that right? Now, listen, I'm not really interested in the reward you have to give me this morning. I love you all. Thank God for you. But that's the reward I'm after, is the kind that only God can give. Is that right? And listen, this inspiration we're talking about this morning, the word inspiration only shows up 2 places in the Bible. I'll read the other one in a little bit. Amen. Only shows up 2 places in the Bible, but yet the whole Bible is given by inspiration. The Bible's full of the idea of inspiration. Amen. And I think it's a powerful thing, and this is why I talk about prayer and the presence of God. The prophet, he said this, Brother Bram said, he said that every prophet, he said every divine man that come from the presence of God, he always worked under certain inspirations, which was directed by God. Notice these men didn't go out with their own idea. God didn't say, why don't you go do something? You figure out how to get it done. No, God gave them an inspiration to show and direct them what he wanted done. He didn't leave it up to the man because he knew the man would mess it up. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. He says, ministers tonight, they preach under inspiration directed by God. Seers tonight work under the inspiration of visions directed by God. I can do nothing, he said, talking about Jesus, except the Father shows me, and whatever the Father shows me, I go do it. That's a good idea. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's why we're gathered here as a bride of Jesus Christ in this building today. Amen. We go what he has showed us to do. We go and do it. Amen. We didn't gather here this morning, hopefully, just to be seen by Brother Andrew, because of course he's not here and you'd be disappointed. or to be seen of others. Is that right? We didn't gather here this morning because it was a man's idea. We didn't just gather to socialize and drink coffee and talk about the week and the weather. Is that right? We didn't come here hopefully to hear a lecture from some sort of an intellectual lecturer, because you'll be disappointed. Amen. But I believe that we've gathered here because this word of God is inspired, and having caught the inspiration of it, we've gathered together because we believe that we ought to gather ourselves together. We believe in a fivefold ministry. We believe God speaks through the preaching of the word, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And because you believe it's inspired, that's why you're here. Amen. Not to impress somebody, not because it was your idea. The word is inspired, and it's inspired you to do the same thing. Listen, this word of God is a good thing, but listen, it's inspired, but many people miss the inspiration of it. But if that same inspiration that wrote this Bible will come and live in you, it will produce the life of Jesus Christ. It will produce the light of the gospel. And that's why you're here today. It has produced something in you. You've caught the inspiration of it. Amen. Hopefully that's why you're here today. Amen. You caught the inspiration. You know what? There's something to that. It's lit a flame in your heart. It's caused revival. It's caused refreshing. It's caused power to come into a lifeless life of death, twice dead and plucked up. Amen. But a fire has taken a hold in your life, and that's why you're here today. That's why you're here when the world makes fun of the idea of going to church. That's why you gather yourselves together. That's why you pray when people say there's no reason to pray. There's no point in praying. You caught an inspiration one day that God desires that men everywhere should pray. And you begin to pray and you found that God answers your prayers. Why? God inspired you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Look, that's not just for the minister. That's for every Christian in the building. Amen. It's not just that this is inspired, but we believe he comes to inspire us this morning in the like manner. Amen? Brother Bram says this. He says, if our nature becomes converted from the things of the world, well, there's the big step for a lot of people right there. Amen? Well, if it becomes converted from the things of the world to the nature of the Holy Spirit, God will take a stand and he will abide on us. Is that right? Jesus said, if my word's in you and you abide in me, he said, is that right? Praise the Lord. He said, ask what you will to be given unto you. Is that right? Watch what he says. I like this quote here, this next part. And this is kind of like the subtitle or the theme. I want you to stick this in your pocket and take it with you when you go out today. Amen. He says this, inspired believers taking the inspired word, those two together brings results. Amen. I believe this is why we don't see God move in a lot of churches and a lot of lives today. Look, the word never lost its inspiration, but we need inspired believers to take the inspired word. That brings results. He said, I ain't seen God move. I ain't seen God do nothing. You need an inspiration, amen? Look, there's nothing wrong with the word, but what about you? Are you moving under your own idea? Are you trying to intellectually produce something? Or has something caught a hold of you? Look, you couldn't get away from it. It chased you down. Is that right? When you were running from God and when you were at the bottom of the barrel, amen? God picked you up like a brand plucked from the fire, and he pulled you out of darkness, and he pulled you out of death, amen? And you're here today because he saw something in you you didn't see. You caught an inspiration. I'm not just a sinner. I'm not just a nobody. I'm not just a lost cause. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. I'm a child of God. Look, the devil didn't tell you that. The world didn't give you that. Only God could give you that. Well, hallelujah. I'm going to preach this morning, I guess. Praise the Lord. Is that right? Inspired believers. That's what I like. I like to see some inspired believers. They're the kind that come up to you after church and say, God bless you. That was powerful. God spoke to me in church. So there's an inspired believer. Amen. They could hear from God. Not, well, that was a nice sermon. I guess I'll go home and be like everybody else. Go live in defeat. Go live like the world. Where's the inspiration at? Amen. Inspired believers take the inspired word and it brings a result. He says the inspiration is in your heart. Hallelujah. It says it puts the word to living. He says, you could take a grain of corn and lay it on a desk. He says, no matter how well it's polished in the desk, it might be 14 carats. It'll never produce any more corn. No matter how pretty the desk is, how genuine the gold is that it's laying on, or how real the corn is, the corn's got to fall into rich, fertile dirt to bring forth results. Amen. I'm going to make a statement this morning. You know, Brother Bram talks about this in the third Exodus. He says that when a group of people come into a church and they think that they can intellectually set a church in order better than the Holy Ghost, is they've cut off the lifeline of the church. They don't need tongues. They don't need speakers. They don't need miracles. They've got all these things. They've tried intellectually to do it. He says they've actually cut off the lifeline. So I think it's fair to say, and you can look at other quotes if you want, but I think it's fair to say that inspiration is the lifeline of the church. Amen. And I say this because so often we neglect this. Amen. We fail to recognize who is speaking, what is taking place. Amen. And if we make this just men and women meeting together, we're no different than a lodge. We might as well go down to the Moose Lodge. Amen. Go get yourself a drink at the Moose Lodge and watch the game. Amen. If God is not speaking here this morning, if I have not received an inspiration from God, I'm wasting your time. And frankly, you're wasting mine. That's the only thing that makes us different, is that he is here speaking. Otherwise, if it's just a church with his name on it, but it's the world, it's the same thing. It's a lodge. Is that right? Well, praise the Lord. I believe that. Is that right? I believe in the inspiration of God. I believe God still gives inspiration today. Man, come to Brother Branham one time and says, I don't believe God does miracles. I don't believe he speaks in tongues and prophesies. He doesn't do that anymore. And he asked the man, he said, then what inspiration do you preach by? Because preaching is an anointed gift just like all those other gifts. How do you have an inspiration to preach? Amen. If you don't believe in an inspiration for those things. Amen. Now, somebody, listen, the inspiration, this is the thing. People are afraid of inspiration. They're afraid of it. Is that right? Well, praise the Lord. But listen, whether you're a husband, a wife, a minister, whatever you are, if you're a Christian, we must have the inspiration of God. Listen, this is the problem. We cannot read this Bible like a newspaper. We cannot read this Bible like it's just a newspaper. It's just a historical document. If you do that, it cannot reproduce the life. Amen. You cannot get warmed by a painted fire. You need inspiration to spark something in your life. Amen. It's inspiration that makes it live. Now, Brother Man, he makes this statement a few different places, but I'm going to quote this one. He says this. He says, there's three elements that people live in. He says, first is the humanistic. Amen. He says, the second is divine revelation. The third is a vision, he says, or the fulfillment. He says, now like, he gives an example. He says, like in prayer, you pray at home, and the humanistic, we say, well, see, I hope you'll get well. I'm hoping, I'm believing with you. I'm trying to use all the faith I have. He says, that's human. He says, but the second is divine revelation. When something is revealed to you and you just know in your heart that it's going to happen, there's nothing but the revelation. Amen? Now notice, it hasn't manifested yet, but there's a revelation there. It's actually taking you into a different element. Amen? He says, the third, of course, is the vision. It's thus saith the Lord. It's perfectly positive, the fulfillment of it. Amen? Now, when he tells this story, or when he uses this, he gives the story as an example. Amen? And he's telling about his own life. Amen? One day he was at home, and he was reading the Bible, and he's reading the story in the book of Genesis about Joseph, how Joseph was sold by his brother as a slave, and he went out, and he, of course, he interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker for Pharaoh, and he ascended to him. And you know the story of Joseph, hopefully, this morning. I don't have time to preach it all to you. But he's reading the story of Joseph, and he says a perfect type of the life of Christ, what Christ was going to go through, what Christ was going to do with his brother. And he was reading that book, and he said he was inspired. And then he was inspired. He said, I went to my prayer closet. And I began to pray about this man, Joseph, and what a great life he had had and what an inspiring character he was. And he said, God came to him in that closet. Well, praise the Lord. I like that. Amen. He said, while he was praying in his closet, God come down and spoke to him and said, you're going to have a boy. Amen. You're going to have a boy and you're going to call his name Joseph. Is that right? Now notice that he had caught the inspiration. He comes up into this realm. Amen. So he begins to testify, and they're right inside their Bibles on the fly leaf and this and that. Brother Bam says he's going to have a boy and his name's going to be Joseph. Is that right? So now he begins to tell everybody. About a month later, they find out his wife, Sister Meanie's pregnant. And so they were all excited. Now watch what happens next. Amen. Because this is how people do you. This is what they're doing to the prophet today. Is that right? This is truth. Amen. Time goes by and she gives birth and she has a little girl. Now the gainsayers come out of the woodwork. Now I want you to think about this. This is a prophet that he's stood on the stage night after night after night and discerned thousands and thousands of times. Never missed it once. Prophesied dozens and hundreds of times. Never missed it once. And she has a girl, and right away the gainsayer calls him up on the phone. Hey, you said you were going to have a Joseph. Did you mean to say Josephine? He said, no, I meant to say, Joseph, I'm going to have a boy. He said, I never said this one was going to be a boy. Hey, man, Brother Branham said this way. He said, I might have had six more girls. I don't know. But all I know is I was going to have a boy, and his name was going to be Joseph. Yeah. Amen. Now, I want you to watch this. Now, I think it's significant. We can talk about Brother Branham, but this is the same thing that happened in the life of Abraham. Is that right? He knew he was going to have a son. He knew he was going to have an heir, but he tried in his own strength to produce a child, and it was an Ishmael. Is that right? But God said, no, you're going to have a child with your wife, Sarah. Is that right? Now look, they looked at that, and even Abraham's like, oh, that Ishmael lived before you forever. God's like, no, you're going to have a child with Sarah, and it's going to be, and that's going to be your son. He's going to be the heir. Is that right? Now I want you to know, people could look at that, and they can look at Ishmael and say, oh, this is the fulfillment. This must be it. But that's not what God was talking about. Is that right? Praise the Lord, somebody. Well, praise the Lord. Notice he's got a revelation. He knows it's going to happen, but how it's going to happen and when, he doesn't know. Neither do we. Is that right? Now, I'm going to come back to this in just a second, but that's where people stumble. Amen. How God does it and when he does it is not altogether how people think it is, and that's where they stumble. Amen. Well, praise God. You know what? I say praise God. You say, what do you mean, brother? I'm thankful God don't have to do it the way I want him to do it. Because if he'd have done it the way I wanted it done, it would have probably got messed up. Amen? I've watched God do things in my life. Said, I didn't know God was going to do it that way. But I thank God he did. I thank God he didn't need my opinion. I thank God God didn't say, well, I better compromise and do this the way Brother Alex wants. Because I got to make sure I do it the way that he wants. I thank God he don't need my opinion. I thank God he don't need my permission. God, have your way. No matter how you want to do it. No matter how or when you want to bring it to pass, God, I want God to have his way. And I thank God for it. Now, a lot of people resent it, but I thank God for it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord now. Well, he don't need my approval. And thank God for that. Praise the Lord. You know what? He's not limited by what we think. He can do exceeding abundantly above anything you could ask or think. You think you try to think of a limit of God, God can do more than whatever you can think. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. Brother Bam said the doctor come up to him after they had Sarah. Said, well, I'm going to untie your wife's tubes because she can't survive another pregnancy. He said, I'm going to tie them tubes. Now, Brother Bam said, don't you do it. God told me I'm going to have a Joseph. Now, watch the doctor's trying to help him. Going to try and help him interpret it. He says, well, maybe you'll get married again and have a boy with another woman or something. Maybe she'll die. And Brother Bam said, no, I'm going to have it by her. He said, God said so. Now watch what he says. He says, I couldn't read it out of this Bible. Amen. He could not show you the Bible that was that. He says, but God had wrote it on my heart by revelation, by faith. God said so. Well, praise the Lord. I pray God would help us this morning. Amen. I pray God would help us in our homes. Amen. Look, God could write on the stone of Mount Sinai his word. Is that right? May our hearts not be so stony and indifferent and so cold on God that he can't even write on our hearts when he can write on a mountain. Let God write on my heart by inspiration his word. Amen. Let it live in me. Let it dwell in my heart. Let it live through me. May he write it in my heart. Look, I don't need him to write it on a stony table on a mountain. I need it here this morning. I need it here in my life. That's the only thing that will make it live. Amen. Oh, my sin was right in my heart. Praise the Lord. Now you think about it. That's why the Pharisees missed it. That's why they missed it, knows it. That's why they always missed it. Amen. God made a promise. He was going to bring something to pass. He promised them a Messiah. Is that right? But when Messiah come, he didn't come the way they liked. He didn't come the way they thought they would. Amen. Amen. Now, somebody, they miss it through the Bible. Is that right? Because God always comes away. Now, listen, God tells them exactly how he's going to do it. And they still don't know how he's going to do it. Is that right? But yeah, he always brings it to pass. He's the interpreter of his own word. Amen. Amen. Now, listen, the problem, and we say this a lot, the problem was that it come away they didn't expect. That's not actually the problem. It's part of the problem. Amen. Look, God's done things, and like I was just saying a few moments ago, God's done things in my life a way he didn't expect. But I didn't get mad about it. Amen? Well, praise the Lord now. Look, the problem is not that God does it a way that we didn't expect. The problem is we resent God because he did it a way we didn't expect. When they looked at the word of God fulfilled, standing before them, the word made flesh, not only did it come a way they didn't expect, but they said, you know what? I don't like how God brought it to pass. I resent how God brought it to pass. I reject how God brought it to pass. That's where they stumbled. Amen? Amen. Well, praise the Lord now. Listen. They're adverse to the very idea that God doesn't want to do it the way they want. God's got to do it my way or God better not do it at all. Now, that's an attitude of pride right there. That shows you what kind of spirit you got. Amen? Listen, we got to be careful we don't do the same thing. Well, hallelujah. I was back at the home church a few Sundays ago. Had a weekend off, and Brother Ray was preaching. I tell you what, my pastor began to start correcting something in the church. Just going down the line. And he said something. He's going a certain direction. And he stopped and said, you know, you got to be careful. When you correct people in church, they get puffed up, and they do this, and they won't come back anymore. I said, well, that's sad. It's about the truth. I say, praise God. Bless my pastor. Praise God for a man. He's commissioned to do that. That's his job. Amen. Look, this word of God that's inspired, it's profitable for reproof and correction too. Amen. Look, God's just as good at telling you what you're doing wrong as what you're doing right. Amen. Look, I don't need to be propped up all the time. I'm not some hotbed plant. Amen. I'm a real thoroughbred. I'm not a hybrid. Amen. I can take the heat. If I'm wrong, God, let me know I'm wrong. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, it's easy to say that anyway. It's another thing to actually do it. I was just talking to my wife about this morning. Somebody came to me a while back. And I said, you know, I received that because I knew it was God. And I knew it was for my blessing. Listen, this. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going off on a tangent now. I go ahead and re-preach this, honey. I said, you know, you look at somebody, whether they're an athlete or a preacher or whatever it is, amen, and people that when they fail at something, let's just use a sport, for example. I'll just use a carnal example here. You're an athlete and you're in a sport and you don't win or you fail, you get second place, amen. Most people will make an excuse for why they failed. They'll say, well, you know, the weather was bad, or I didn't have any luck, or it's my club, or it's the ball, or it's this or that. But somebody that knows that they want to be the best, they want to say, this is where I messed up. Listen, you can only improve if you admit you're not where you need to be. Listen, when you come here and say, oh, I'm already at the top of my game, I can't get any better, well, that's why you can't improve. And that's how a lot of Christians are. That's how a lot of ministers are. You can't tell them nothing. They think they're already at where they need to be. But yet you watch time after time after time. God can't use them. Because they won't submit themselves. Amen. Listen, I want to be a better preacher. Some of you are like, I hope he gets better too. I'm getting tired of him already. That's all right. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm willing to get better. I'm willing to be more yielded to God. Amen. When somebody comes and says, you know, you could do this. I say, praise God. If you could come to me and say, if you do this certain thing, brother, your ministry would be twice as effective. I say, I'm going to do that every time. Not, well, I don't need to hear that. See what it is? The spirit of pride. Is that right? They said, we don't want to receive what God has done. It didn't come the way we wanted it to. We reject it. Amen. Right. Now you do the same thing in church. Amen. The pastor comes and start correcting them. And I find it so strange because I said, I thought we were message believers. If anybody ought to be able to receive correction, it's us. The Bible says if you can't receive correction, you're illegitimate children. You're bastards is what it says. Is that right? If there's one people that ought to be able to receive correction, it ought to be us. We're not the people that are just too tall and too spiritual to be corrected. We're the ones that say, I can still be wrong, God, but I'm willing to let God correct me. We ought to be the ones that say, God, I'm willing to hear from you. Well, praise the Lord. You know what it is? Well, I'm going down this line now. People get older and they do one of two things. They either get more spiritual or they get more religious. And a lot of times we think one's the other. Well, that man, he's been serving God 40 years. Look how spiritual he is. No, look how religious he is. You can't tell him nothing. He's got it figured out. He knows more than the pastor. He knows more than this guy. He knows more about it than God. You know what? I'm going to serve God as an advisor. God, you messed this up. You should do it this way. Look, God don't need your advice. Listen, I've heard, well, praise the Lord, I've heard men get behind the pulpit and say, well, you know, Jesus did it this way, but I wouldn't do it this way. I'm thinking, well, mercy mine. Why are you even in the pulpit? Who's speaking? It ain't God. Jesus don't have to apologize for nothing he said. You know, if you're getting up there apologizing for Jesus, I have to question what kind of spirit's speaking. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's truth anyhow. Amen. But I think people got such thin skin. Amen. God help us. Because if I'm wrong, I want to be right. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, you want to know where the inspiration comes from? You watch how they respond to the word. It's true, is that right? Look, the Bible says this. It says knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Amen? You got somebody, they're just theological, and they're smart, and they're intelligent, and they've got it all figured out. You watch how they respond when the word comes. They get puffed up. So I know more about you. I can't receive correction. You're puffed up. But if you really have a spirit of love, love edifies. Love is willing to receive correction. Now, the prophet said, he said that love is corrective. Is that right? Now, love is not only corrective. Some people think it's that way. I've seen people say, well, love's corrective, so I'm going to go on corrective everybody. It's not only corrective. Love is also patient and kind. It's all those other things. But he is also corrective. Look, I correct my children not because I get mad at them. Look, if they go run out in the street, I don't correct them because I'm mad at them. I correct them because I love them and I don't want them to get smashed by a semi-truck. That's all there is to it. Look, God gives us his instruction for our sake. The inspiration is for us. Look, God doesn't need the inspiration. We need it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I tell you what, you go, well, praise the Lord. You get in these churches sometimes, they get up there, you start to preach a little bit. You start to say something, rub somebody just the wrong way just a little bit. And they fold their arms. Well, you, brother, you're only 35 years old. You can't tell me nothing I don't already know. You can't do anything for me. And I look at them and say, you know what, that's true. I can't do anything for you. I never once stood in this pulpit and claimed I could help you out. Never made that claim. But you know what? The problem is you're at with that kind of attitude, God can't help you either. Amen? Because you won't receive anything God has to say either. Amen? I never claimed to be able to help you. Look, if Jesus stood up here in the same suit today, wearing the same outfit and preached the same thing I said, if you didn't like it, he couldn't help you any more than I could. Amen? He couldn't help his own hometown of Nazareth, right? Yeah, true. Right? Because of unbelief. Amen? Prophet's not without honor except his own house and his own country. Amen? Well, they get up there and I tell you what, you got a bad attitude. Say, well, you don't have any business talking to me like that, preacher. Who's talking? Who's talking? You don't have a business talking that way. Who's speaking? Do we believe in inspiration? Why are we here? Well, praise the Lord. You know, it's quite a, I was saying that, I say this. I said, you know, it's quite a revelation to me. I was preaching about this the other day. I said, you know, it's quite a revelation to me as a young minister when I found out that God could speak to me through somebody else besides my favorite preacher. Ooh, that'll stick for a little bit. Amen. You know what? God can speak to you through somebody else besides your favorite preacher. Do you know that? Amen. Don't just have to be this, your favorite radio preacher, your favorite this, or listen to tape. Amen. God can speak through somebody else too. Well, whether you like it or not, it's truth. Amen. I tell you what. It's the truth. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Ram says this. He says, when the angel of the Lord moves down, it becomes, he says, then a voice, I become, it's a voice of God to you. Is that right? Now, people say, oh, I believe that. But he also says this. He says, on the platform, and the Holy Spirit speaking, he's speaking through mortal lips. He always does. I believe these are ministers behind me. Look, he's not just putting on himself. He's talking about God-called ministers. Is that right? There are ministers behind me, and brethren, he says, you've never preached a sermon in your life. He says, the Holy Spirit preached through you a sermon. That's right. We don't preach. The Holy Spirit does the speaking. Oh, I might write out something and read it, but that ain't preaching. Preaching is when inspiration comes. It's preached by inspiration, and the Holy Spirit gives an unction. We can read something that just doesn't matter. But when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of it and takes it out to the people, then something takes a hold. He says, that's the Holy Spirit. That's not your pastor preaching. That's the Holy Spirit preaching in your pastor to give out the message. You ever notice that? You could read this Bible and you might read the same verse 10 times. You might have heard the same thing in church 10 times, but one day something caught a hold. Amen. The inspiration come. That's what made the difference. Amen. Amen. And I tell you what, now that's the thing. We can receive it on a tape. Can we receive it in the pulpit? Amen. Well, we can receive it out of this book. What about from another person? I tell you what, I guess this is like a home away from home. I was at the home church a while back, and Brother Nathan was preaching. God bless Brother Nathan. Yeah, he's preaching a fine sermon. And all of a sudden, and of course, you know, Brother Nathan, he's a younger man. He's just recently married. And all of a sudden, he stops and he begins to preach about marriage. And I tell you what, anybody that was 40 years up and older, they shut down on him. That's what they do. Oh, now come on, somebody, help me out here. Well, they shut down him right away. And you could just watch half of them just turned out. 404, fatal exception, machine shutting down on him, amen? They just shut down on him because he began to preach about marriage. Well, he's only been married a couple of years and he's a young man. He can't tell me nothing. Who's speaking? Listen, if it's what the Word of God says, it don't matter if he's 10 or 100, amen? Look, Paul preached about marriage and the man wasn't even married. But can you receive what he said? Because it's from God. Well, praise the Lord, that's what they do. Well, he's a young man. He can't tell me nothing. Well, praise the Lord. God can't tell you nothing either, I guess. Well, how old was Jesus? Right. Praise the Lord, somebody. Look, the Pharisees did. Well, you're not even a man that's 50 years old. Well, okay, praise the Lord. You all a bunch of old stuffed shirts. Well, hallelujah. It's true, isn't it? Look, Paul told that to Timothy, didn't he? He said, don't let men despise your youth. Now, why would he tell them that? Because they were despised as youth. Yeah. Look, he preached the same thing Paul preached. He was called. Paul was called. They preached the same thing. They were both called to the ministry. The only difference was one was old and one was young. Amen. But because one was young, they wouldn't listen to him. And Paul said, don't let them despise your youth. Just because you're young. Look, Jeremiah had the same problem. I can't speak to them. I'm but a child. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going down this road now. Amen. Look, this is the example I put in here for this morning. The Bible tells us a story about a man by the name of Job. And you're familiar with Job. Amen. And Job, he was sitting on an ash heap for about a week trying to make his decision. Amen. Wondering what he was going to do, what he was going to say. And his three church buddies showed up. And you know what? These are some good friends. They showed up with the golden nuggets and they got their quote books out. And they've been looking through the tapes, looking through the messages. And they come and they sit with Job and Job begins to speak. And I tell you what, now watch, they weren't spiritual, they were just religious, amen? His buddies, they come out and they're going to help Job. I love people that try to help, amen? My help's in the Lord, amen? Praise the Lord. Now listen, I'm not saying that people should correct one another, but I'm saying find the inspiration of God for it. The Bible says do it in the spirit of meekness, lest you be overtaken in the same fault, amen? Well, praise the Lord anyhow. Here comes Job's friends. This all right this morning? I just dramatized this for you a little bit. Amen. Just don't go back. This isn't how it says it word for word. I'm just dramatizing a little bit. Amen. And Job's buddies, they begin to help out Job. And the first one pipes up and says, Job, I know why you're sick. I read a quote the other day. This is why you're sick, Job. The Bible, the prophet said that you're sick because there's sin in the camp. There's sin in the church. And that's why you haven't been healed yet. If we could find out who's a secret sinner, I think it's you, Job. If we can find out where the secret sin is, then you could be healed, Job. Obviously, you've got sin in your life. Now, listen. He's telling him that there's sin in your life and you're sick. That's why you're going through this. That wasn't why he was going through it. Now, that was fundamentally a good reason. Sure. That's fundamental. Look, Balaam was fundamental as Moses. Didn't do well. Oh, hallelujah. Well, we're fundamental. Well, that's great, but are you saved? Amen. Get saved first, then get fundamental. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, there's sin in the camp. That's why you can't be healed. That's not why Job was sick. Praise the Lord. Here comes another one. Well, Job, you know, the prophet said the right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. So you must just have the wrong attitude. You must not believe. You must just be hoping and not really believing. You must not really have faith. Well, that wasn't the problem either, was it now? You know, I love people that come up that they watch somebody get prayed for in church or this or that, and something happens, and maybe the person stays sick or this or that. People come up and say, well, you know, them people must not have much faith. That preacher must not have much faith. They're still sick. I'm thinking, well, where's your prayers at? Amen. All right, you're so spiritual, you pray for them then. Look, it ain't going to offend me if you pray for them they get well. I say, praise God anyway. Well, okay, my ego on the line. I want God to heal them, amen. Well, praise the Lord. I know some people that would get offended. Don't bother me, though. Praise the Lord, amen. Well, hallelujah. Now, listen, here comes the third troubleshooter. I like that word, troubleshoot. Because they weren't shooting the trouble, they were shooting Job. Here comes the third troubleshooter. He says, well, Job, here's the problem. The Bible says that if you can't forgive others, you can't be forgiven. And you must have unforgiveness in your life, Job. And that's why you're going through these things. You've clearly got an ought against somebody. Don't go take communion until you get it right, Job. That's why you're sick. Now listen, all three of these guys had real good, solid, fundamental reasons for why Job was sick. But the problem was, none of them were the reason. Amen. They lacked the inspiration for Job's situation. Amen. Listen, they had a lot of information to offer, but no inspiration. Listen, information don't save you. Information can't help you. Inspiration will save you. Inspiration will heal you. Inspiration will change your outlook on life. Amen. It'll give you direction. Finally, here comes Elihu. Is that right? Ah, hallelujah. I like Elihu. Brother Rem talks about his name. You look at his name. He's a representative of God, a representative of Christ. And Elihu comes up and it says this. Now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. Here's one of them young pompous men again. Amen. And Elihu saw there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, and his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and you are very old. I don't know if that very was a dig or not. Like, I don't know why I needed to throw that in there. And he didn't say you're old. He said, you're very old. I don't know what that was about. You figure that one out. He said, I'm young, you're very old. Wherefore I was afraid and durst not show you mine opinion. I said that days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But he says this, and I like this, he says, but there is a spirit in man. And the inspiration, there's your second time, the inspiration of Almighty God giveth them understanding. See, they had a lot of information, but they lacked the understanding. They didn't know that God up in heaven was bragging on Job. Oh, Satan, have you seen my servant Job? There's none like him. He's perfect. He'll not deny me. You can touch his flesh. You can take his family. You can take his wealth. You can take his own wife and turn him against him. He won't deny me with his lips. Amen. They lacked the inspiration. God wasn't upset at Job. God was bragging on Job. He was boasting of his power in his life that Job would not deny him. Amen. If they'd have caught a real inspiration, they'd be like, Job, praise God. Praise God, Job, you were counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake. You know, when them disciples, oh, praise the Lord, I'm going to go off here now, amen. When them disciples, after the day of Pentecost, they went up to the gate, beautiful, and they preached, and a man got healed in the name of Jesus Christ. They took them men, and they rebuked him, and they beat him, and they walked out. Is that right? You read the book of Acts chapter 4 and 5, they walked out, and they begin to rejoice. You know why? They caught an inspiration. Peter began to pray and said, you know what, God? It was you that spoke by the mouth of your prophet David and said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The rulers gathered themselves together against the Lord and against his anointed, amen? He recognized what was going on. You know what it caused him to do? It didn't cause him to get discouraged. They began to rejoice that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake. And they began to pray and said, Lord, now grant that with all boldness we might speak thy word, that signs and wonders would be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. And the Holy Ghost, confirmed the word. He come in the building and he shook the place therein. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. That's what I like. I like when the Holy Ghost comes and just shakes things up a little bit. We could use a shaking up today, amen? The inspiration of Almighty God giveth them understanding. Amen? They didn't wait on inspiration. He says this, great men are not always wise. Neither do the aged understand judgment. Amen? Like I said, sometimes we learn so much. This is the thing. The Bible talks about this. Amen? We begin to learn so much, especially as we get older. I got to be careful. I'm not just talking about somebody that's 80, 90 years old now. We begin to learn things, and if we're not careful, we begin to lean on our own understanding. Amen. Then you get somebody, once they get set in their ways, man, forget about it. I tell you what. It's true. Is that right? Great men are not always wise. I found that out the hard way in my life. There's been people I've looked up to, respected. One of the most respected men in my life, I found out something about his life one time. Not a sinful thing, but just a mistake he made. Something I didn't agree with. And I said, and it bothered me. And then because we look at these people and say, well, how could that person make a mistake? Well, probably the same way you do. Probably the same way you do when you do it too. Amen. It's a reminder to me I had to have an Isaiah experience like he had with King Uzziah. Amen. Great men are not always wise. You look at somebody and think, man, they've got it all together. They know everything. They can dot every I. They can cross every T. They you know what? They're just as human as you. And if they're honest, they'll be the first one to admit it. Well, praise the Lord. There's a spirit in a man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Amen. Sure. Brother Brad makes a statement. Is this all right this morning? He says, your enemy is standing there with a hammer back on his gun, with the bowstring drawn. He's ready to shoot out every poison dart that he can send, every cult and every little idea, every intellectual giant like Goliath. He'll send them around there, and it says, now watch, he's comparing them. They look so much taller than the brethren you're associating with, these little, ignorant, unlearned brethren. He'll send such spiritual, intellectual giants and big schools, and he'll explain the whole thing away from you. Amen? Talking about the power of God. Amen. They'll explain the whole thing away from you. He says, but if you've made your investment, he says, he's talking about investments. You got your policy stamped and sealed by the Holy Ghost. There's nothing going to rub it out of you. Listen, if a man can talk you into this, a man can talk you out of it. If you're here today because a man talked you into believing on Jesus Christ, a man can talk you right back out of it. Praise the Lord. He says, But if you got sealed by the Holy Ghost, there's nothing going to rub it out of you. And he says this, no man has a right to preach the gospel until secretly on the backside of the desert, he's still on the ground with him and God alone. He says there's no intellectual being in the world could explain it away from you. You say, but wait, something happened. I know it did. You saw it with your own eyes. You talked to it, and it talked back to you. Amen. Well, I'm a witness of it this morning. Amen. You might think I'm a fanatic, but I'm a witness of it. You talked to it. It talked back, and it sealed you into this being, and you become a part of it. Amen. That's why I'm preaching here today. Amen. I tell you what, praise the Lord. I'm not getting my whole testimony this morning. I did hear the other day somewhere, but let me tell you this. Amen. I was a spot in my life one day, and I've been going to a message church. It's actually Brother Andrew and his brother Stephen. They introduced me to the message. I've been going to church for a little bit. I've gone to other churches too, and I had things going on in my life. Listen, I hadn't met God yet. I was just going to church, amen? And listen, one night I got to a place, something happened in my life. I got to a place where I didn't want to live anymore. I was getting ready to take my own life. I was out back behind my parents' house, laying in a field of dirt one night. It was in August, amen? And I'm laying in a field of dirt, crying there like a little child, a broken little child in the dirt. And I said, I don't want to live anymore. I've gone through this, I've gone through that. I said, I'm tired of living. I don't want to be alive anymore. I wish I'd have never been born. And I began to think how I was going to take my own life and what I was going to do. And listen, I can't tell you what was so different to this day. There's a call of God in my life. God had a purpose. Amen. That's all I can say. I don't know why. I'm no better or different than the next person. But as I was laying there and I got up and I was getting ready to take my own life, I pushed myself up from the dirt and I looked up towards the starry sky that night. I said, God, I wish I'd have never been born. I hate my life. I don't want to live anymore. I wish you'd just let me die right here in this field tonight. Amen. I said, let me die right here tonight. And something spoke to me as I lay there in that field. Somebody spoke to me that night and said, if you don't want your life, if you want to die and you don't want your life anymore, I'll take it. He said, you've been disappointed with this and you've been disappointed with that. He said, I've wanted to be a father to you the whole time. I've wanted to be a husband to you the whole time. You've been rejected by the world, by your family, by others, but you've rejected me the whole time. But I've been here waiting. And if you don't want to live anymore, I will take your life. I said, God, I don't want it anyway. You take it all. I don't ever want it back. And a different man got up off the ground that night because he heard from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got up the next day and I went to work and I'm just milling over this now. I said, something's different. Something's going on. I got off work. It was August 2nd. It was a Wednesday. I got off work and I called Brother Stephen Kressel up. I said, Stephen, and he just got baptized a couple weeks prior. Brother James knows the story. It was a good story. Amen. I got a witness here. Can I get a witness? I called Brother Stephen up. I said, Brother Stephen, I want to get baptized. He said, well, that's good. We call Brother Lonnie up. We can set something up at church and maybe get baptized this Sunday. I said, no, I need to get baptized today. I need to get baptized right now. He said, well, who's going to baptize you? I said, well, can't you do it? He goes, well, that's a good question. I don't know. So he calls up Brother James. Hey, Dad, can anybody baptize? Hey, you can baptize. We'll just get some witness. So he called me back. All right, we're going to baptize you. So Brother Andrew and Brother James and Brother Stephen show up, and I went to a friend's house. Friend's not even a believer. Went to the pool in his backyard. Him and his mom, they're up against the screen door watching the whole thing, laughing the whole time. What is it? I'm in my work clothes. I just got off work. And they're like, what is he doing? But you know what? I didn't care. We worry too much about what people are going to think about. I didn't care. I wasn't there for them. I wasn't there for Brother James. I was there for Jesus Christ. I said, I want the people to know the old man has died and he's never coming back up. I got baptized that day and I went home. I went back to that same field I'd been in the night before. And I was sopping wet that time too, but that's because I got baptized. And I began to pray a different kind of prayer. I said, God, that Holy Ghost I've been speaking about, I need that Holy Ghost. And the next day, August 3rd, 2006, 3:45 in the afternoon, I can take you to the spot. I was driving down the road and the Holy Ghost come in the car. And my life's never been the same. Listen, somebody died that night. But the inspiration of God come and made that dry stick live in its presence. It brought life and power. Because there's a call of God. Look, I don't know why. God could have picked so many other people. But God said, I'm taking that one. Because he don't even want his own life. That's exactly what I want. We get so caught up in our own lives, sometimes we lose sight of it. Look, I gotta be careful. You go along for a while and you begin to fall into that. You're worried about what people think and this and that. Look, I didn't start out that way. I don't want to end that way. If I started out dead and I gave him my life, I got no room to take it back. I don't have permission to take it back at any point. Amen. Sometimes we think we got a right to take it back up. Well, you know, God's really blessed me. I'm gonna take my ease. I'm gonna build my... No, don't do that, brothers, sisters. That's where he can't speak to you anymore. And then without that inspiration, you'll die in a church pew. Hallelujah. Listen, that's why I tell people all the time, look, even if I backslid, I didn't want to serve God anymore, I couldn't go be an atheist. I've done seen God do too much. I've done heard him speak to me. Look, that one, the only time he spoke to me, I'm bragging on my wife here now a little bit. When I started courting her several months later, I was praying. It was 4 o'clock in the morning one night, and I wasn't expecting this, but I was praying because I knew God had woke me up and I had a burden in my heart. And as I was praying, the pillar of fire, the angel of the Lord, come into the room where I was at and begin to speak to me. Hey, you can call me fanatic, that's fine, I don't care anyway. They said the same thing about Paul. Well, Paul, much learning has made you mad. He said, I'm not mad. Most noble Festus, I speak the words of truth and soberness. And then God spoke to me that night again. And the next morning I called Maria up. Of course, I'm just courting her at the time. I said, Maria, guess what? The angel of the Lord appeared to me last night. Well, best you can tell, this is my first courtship. Because that probably wasn't the best thing to do. Most girls have been like, well, he's crazy. I'm going to go out the door here. Forget about this guy. He's a nutcase. Hey, man, he thinks he's seeing stuff now. Most girls probably, okay, he's, you know, a little shaky there. But I thank God for a godly woman that believes that sort of thing. Amen. Amen. That's why I married her. She's the keeper. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know what she did? I began to try to describe what I saw, the color. I said, it was like this brownish, greenish, orangish kind of yellow color. And she said, well, go look what the prophet said about it. She said several things, but that's the thing I remember. The book of Ezekiel talks about it as well, the amber fire. Is that right? That's what Brother Bram described it as every time. Is that right? I said, oh, that's what color that was. I didn't know how to describe it. Look, I wasn't making it up because I read it first or saw it first. That's what I saw, but the word confirmed it. You say, why are you saying all this? Because I want you to know that God, oh, hallelujah. Look, my God didn't die in 1965. My God died 2,000 years ago and he rose again. Hallelujah. He's not dead. He still speaks. He still speaks today. And look, you don't just have to speak out of a pillar of fire. He can speak through you. He can speak through me. He can speak to you in your closet. Look, you might not see a pillar of fire. You might. I don't know. But all I care is I heard from God. I know it was God, and my life will never be the same. Amen. That's how I could rise above that field that night, because I knew I'd heard from someone, and he was real. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, when I say this message saved my life, this gospel saved my life, it quite literally saved my natural life, not just spiritually. That's why I try not to ever compromise on the word of God, because this is my life. My life's hid with God, with Christ and God. If I mess this up, I'm selling myself short. I'm part of it.
Amen.
How can I take away or add to it? I'm part of it.
Yes.
I'm only hurting myself. Well, praise the Lord. Listen, you might think, Brother Alex, you're the poorest preacher I ever heard. And I might be. That's fine. Amen. I might be the worst preacher you've ever heard, but you know what? I know whom I believed. I know who I heard from. And let me tell you, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. My inspiration, it's not on the pages of this Bible. It's written in my heart. You can't read it here, but you can see it in a living epistle. Listen, you might be the only Christ some people will save. What is your life saying tonight?
Amen.
This morning, what's your life saying?
Yes,
is it saying there's some old crusty old or some young punk, some religious that? Or is it saying there's something different about them? You know what? I keep forgetting about this, and I brought this up the other day. I remember Brother Stephen got an email from one of our old friends a few months after we were saved. Amen. And he sent this email. And he said, you know what? Something's happened to you since you started going to church and stuff and since you got baptized. I don't know where my old friend is. It's like he died and there's somebody new living on the inside of his body. I said, praise God. He read to me. I said, brother, he paid you the biggest compliment he could have ever paid you. Didn't even know it. Oh, hallelujah. Look, I don't want to be some patched up job. I want Christ to live in me. That means more to me than life itself. What a compliment. What a compliment. Look, they can say nice things about you at your funeral. They can say nice things about you in front of other people. But what does God say? Somebody else is living in that house. The old man checked out a long time ago. Ooh, that's worth more to me than all the money in the world. That's worth more to me than all the accolades and all the fame. You might think I'm a little bitty nobody, and I'll take it. I mean, I'll take it because it's got the life of Christ in it. That's all I care about. The inspiration's in me. Listen, I love him because he loved me first. Amen. He loved me when I was unlovable, when I turned my back on his grace and his mercy, and I was broke up by my own rejection, but I rejected God time and time again, time after time, and he waited on me anyway, and he loved me anyway. How could I turn him down again? How could I ever turn him down again after that? What kind of a hypocrite would that make me? To turn your back on the one. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. Praise the Lord. I believe we need inspiration. I believe we need to hear from him. Listen, if you've ever heard from him once, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Amen. We sing that song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now if I was blind, I know what that means. And then when the Holy Ghost came in that car that day, it's like my eyes were open for the first time. I don't know how to explain it to you other than that. It was like being born again. That's what it was like. It's like I'd been in a womb my whole life, and all I could see was darkness. Something happened. Look, it wasn't my natural eyes that changed, but something changed that day. Everything was different. Praise the Lord. I pray, I believe this assembly, these people know what I'm talking about. Brother Ram says this, I'm getting ready to finish up here. He says, I appreciate men that will follow the leading of Christ, regardless of the cost it costs them. Though the whole world, maybe your very best friends, think that you're wrong, but it isn't wrong to you. As long as you feel there's something behind it, it's God moving you. It's never wrong, and it'll always pan out right. You know, I was looking at these pictures. Anybody that's ever been to Brother Andrew's office, he's got pictures for my first missionary trip. You know, I look at those pictures of myself praying for the sick stuff. You know what I think? I'm like, oh, that's me. That's what I think. I don't think of myself that way. I know, I'll be honest with you. I don't think to myself, oh, here comes somebody. I'm just like, whatever, you know, I ain't nobody. I see that, I'm like, oh, wow, that's me. Well, it looks like me. It's actually not me, but it looks like me. Right. Praise the Lord. It's strange to me this day because I know it's not me. Right. Amen? Amen. Look, I don't always see myself that way, but God sees you a certain way. If we catch the inspiration, it'll change. Listen, I just got a testimony here a couple days ago. There's a sister in the church in Illinois, Sister Carolyn. I was there the day she came into church. She'd been diagnosed with cancer. She'd come in there at the end of church. She actually didn't make it to the regular service. She'd come at the end. She'd been to the hospital, and they diagnosed her with cancer. And you know what them people did? We all right then at once, you know what we did? We didn't cry and say, I'm so sorry. We all got around, and we began to pray. Right there, right that day, we began to pray. And you know what? Testimony just come back this week. She's healed of cancer. Yeah. Listen, I don't have to pet no devil and back up. I believe there's an inspiration there. Look, I had this happen the other day. I was talking to a young man in the church, and I just began to walk away, and something tugged at me. Don't miss that. We miss that so many times. How many times do we miss that? Like that woman, Brother Ben talks about, she was sitting next to that other mother with a blue baby that was sick, and she said, well, Brother Ben's going to pray for this baby. There's no need for me to pray, but God kept tugging at her heart. Finally, she prayed, and she got up on the platform with the baby, the mother later. Brother Bam said, now, your child's already been healed. Somebody, look. Right. Look, you say, well, Brother Bam's not here. You're here. So what's the difference? Look, it's God that does it. Said, your child, somebody prayed. Your child's already been healed. Well, praise the Lord. Listen, it's not that we pray, it's who's praying through us. And if we recognized it more often, if we let the inspiration take hold more often, instead of just walking away, well, that's just my idea, this is my thought. Right. We do that so many times, that's why we miss out. Right. Well, that's just me, well, that's just, there's nothing to that. I went back to that young man I was talking about, I prayed with him. I said, you know what, I don't know why, I just feel led to pray with you. I don't know what's going to happen. Right. I don't know what's going to happen there, but listen, that's happened so many times. That trip to Africa, I quit a job, had no idea what I was going to do after I got back, but I was inspired to do it. I didn't know how it was going to work out, but I knew God would work it out. Amen. Look, just overseas here, a few months back, I was in India, and I had prayer. At the end of the services, a young boy come, or I'm sorry, he wasn't there, he was in the hospital. He'd been hit by something, and it crushed his throat, and the doctor said he'd probably die by the end of the night. And this young boy was on his way to the youth meeting. Amen, somebody, he was on his way to the youth meeting, and he got hit. And he's in the hospital. The doctor said he's going to die probably by tonight. And we prayed for him at the end of that service. I didn't know how it was going to turn out, but I believed God. And it was a month later, I found out, a report come back. He walked out of the hospital perfectly well the next day. Listen, God still speaks. God still heals. Amen. You say, why are you saying all that? I'm not saying it for me. I'm saying it for his people. Listen, God still speaks in tongues. He still gives gifts. He still prophesies. But are we willing to pay a cost? See, that's the thing. We don't want to pay a cost anymore. See, I started out willing to pay my own life. And I'm still willing to pay it today. But if you're not willing to pay the cost, amen. That's what happened to Saul, King Saul. He took it from the sheep coat, from this and that. It made him a great man. It got to his head. Now he had to worry about what the people said. Well, I know I don't want to speak in tongues at church. Somebody might think I'm fanatic. Is it God or not? No, look, if it's not God, I agree. I'll be right there with you. Somebody goes up for prayer. Well, you know, the pastor will pray, or the preacher will pray for him, and God's telling you, well, you go pray for him. Well, you know, I don't want to go up there. They're already praying for him. You go pray for him. Look, if you want to come here and help me pray, I'm not going to tell you no. I'm not going to tell you no. You say, what are you getting at, brother? Don't quench the moving of the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Amen. Right. Well, praise the Lord. That's all I got. You stand your feet. Don't get to a place where you lean on your own understanding and you get away from that freshness of inspiration, that drive that moves the church, the fire of God that'll find resonance in the corridors of the heart of a man or a woman of God. They'll stir them to action. Stir them to revival. Hallelujah. We need it today. I need it today just as much. Well, I need it in this pulpit, obviously, but I need it when I walk out. You know, we put it all here in the church. I need it at home. I've had God speak to me about things with my children at home before. You know, different testimonies I've probably told here. Man, I want it every day. I want to live in it. I want to live in it. I want to be like that man on that log. I want to ride all the way down to glory. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we're so grateful. Lord, I think of the Queen of Sheba. She'd prayed many years to that old stone idol. Never did talk back to her. But one day, she heard about a man by the name of Solomon. And God had placed a gift of wisdom in his life to judge the hearts of the people. And she traveled so far from her home and from her idols to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And when she'd met that man and she'd heard the wisdom of Solomon, she said, I'd heard of this. I've heard of this great inspiration, this great gift of God. Oh, but the half has not been told me. She found what you were capable of doing is far greater than even what she had heard of. But I believe today there's one here. I believe today that greater than Solomon is here. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. I believe God is here today, in whom is no variableness or shadow of turning. God, if we've not heard your voice lately, it's not because you don't speak anymore. I believe God is always speaking. Lord, I believe you're always speaking. But have we taken time to listen? Have we taken time to come to church and to pray and say, God, I want to hear from you today. I don't want to hear from Brother Ox. I don't want to hear from Brother Andrew. I want to hear from you today. Have we taken that time? 30 minutes is such a little cost to hear from God. We ought to be willing to give our own lives. Oh, hallelujah. Willing to give our own lives for your sake. Lord, we have such a small price to pay in comparison to what you did for us. And we get so careless sometimes. We neglect the voice of God. We hear the voice of God. We say, oh, that was something else. That voice is trying to save us tonight, this morning. That voice is trying to speak to us. That voice is trying to take us out of the mess that we've made of our life and bring us restoration and healing and change. love and a peace that passes all understanding. Lord, may we not incline our ears today to the voice of men and popular opinion, nor the negative circumstances and the gainsayers that surround us, that say our families can't be saved, that say that there's no such thing as a rapture, that God doesn't speak like that no more. May we not incline our voices to hear the things of the foolish today. May we incline our ears to hear the word of God. I believe inspired believers here today, right here in this building today, inspired believers will take this inspired word, and right in our midst today, it will bring a result in their lives if they'll just allow it. Father, may we just grant a place to you now in our hearts. May you have preeminence, we pray, in our lives, in our very being. We'll give you the praise and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, oh, but now I'm found, hallelujah. I was blind, oh, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. Oh my, the grace. All my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. I can still remember it. The hour I first through many dangers, through many dangers, doors and stairs, I have already come. I saw a thing here recently. This isn't meant to be a criticism necessarily, but they asked pastors throughout America, how much do you pray during the week? The average answer was 30 minutes for the whole week. They speak more than God speaks. Amen. Let's take time to hear from God today. Amen. Oh, I'm not on. That's not the right key. What key were you in there? Give me C, please. I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes and often slip. Just common flesh and bone. Oh, but he'll prove one day just what I say. I'm of a special kind. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He loved me. was on the cross. I was on his mind. What look of love was on his face. The thorns upon his brow. The blood ran down his scarlet robe and stained it crimson red. Though his eyes were on the crowd that day, Jesus looked ahead in time. For when he was on the cross, guess what? You were on his mind, for he knew. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, and he loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine. Oh, so mercy. Oh, and he was on the cross. You and I were on. One more time now. Oh, yes, he knew me. You know, that means so much to me, to know I was on his mind, to know when I was in that field that night, he'd been waiting the whole time. Look, he wasn't just waiting on me that night, he'd been waiting on me the whole time. Hallelujah. You love the Lord today? Amen. We'll sing another song, we get ready to dismiss today. All hearts and minds clear today, I pray. If you do have a need of prayer, we'll be happy to pray with you today. As we'll sing here and get ready to dismiss, amen. Do you know the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness? Can you see there still? 68 in your songbook, amen. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee.
Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever. Stars in the faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I sing. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided.
Blessings all mine with 10,000 besides. Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness.
I can say it this morning.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness,
Lord unto me.
How many can say he's been faithful to you? Amen. Amen. Was there anyone else had a desire of prayer or anything today before we dismiss? I'll just go ahead and dismiss here. Key G, please. Now remember, he's not in a manger today. He's not on the cross either. He's on the throne.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God for that. Take that with you, amen. Remember, he's alive today. He's alive in you. Amen.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. Will joy and comfort give you, so take it everywhere you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, the hope of earth and joy of heaven. Oh precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth, joy of heaven.
God bless you today.
Precious name.
Precious
name. Oh, how sweet.